questions being raised over how some MLAs use public money to rent their offices. Last night's BBC Spotlight investigation into expenses revealed that Sinn Féin paid rent to three different cultural societies, including the rent for Deputy First Minister Martin McGuinness. The programme also looked at DUP offices in Ballymena and Fermanagh and raised questions over transparency, use of public funds and value for money for taxpayers. Both Sinn Féin and the DUP have said they have complied with Assembly regulations and no rules were broken. The former chairman of Westminster Standards Watchdog, Sir Alistair Graham, has called for an investigation into societies that receive public money in rent from Assembly members for their constituency offices.
So it sounds to me that there is a real danger that these so-called cultural bodies are rather bogus organisations, which is a way of channelling public money to political parties, and there clearly should be some detailed investigation.
Well, joining me now, two of those who featured during last night's programme, the former Alliance politician Seamus Close and Pat McCartan, who's chair of the Independent Review Panel body that oversees MLA pay and allowances. We've asked Sinn Féin and the DUP to come on the programme. Hopefully they can do that shortly. First of all, Pat McCartan, I mean, for people watching this and looking at it, I mean, it doesn't look particularly good, does it?
No, it certainly does not, and there is a need now to really overhaul the system. That's what the Independent Financial Review Panel is currently doing. That's what I'm tasked with as the chairman of that panel. And we have a number of issues out to consultation for the public and for the MLAs to comment upon. And I think it's quite unfair for them to say that this is a system that is imposed on them and they can't be blamed for exploiting it. They certainly can. They are required to adhere to the Nolan Principles, and they are required to adhere to the 10 points that the party leaders agreed. And that requires openness, transparency, accountability, all of those issues to show that they are not personally or their political party is not in any way benefiting from whether it's rents or other expenses. And that's the current requirement. But, of course, it relies on their honesty and integrity to make statements to that effect when they're claiming monies.
Well, we've heard from Francis Molloy this morning on BBC Radio Ulster, and he is saying, you know, actually spending this money through the cultural societies that we saw on the programme last night, he says this is very good use of public money. He says they're renting office in a building that serves the community, and it's a not-for-profit organisation. Do you agree with him?
No, I don't agree with that. If it's not open and transparent, and if monies are being used for some purpose other than to finance the office of an MLA who is there to serve the public in his constituency and in Stormont. That's the express purpose of the monies. Now, if they're paying rents for some building which is used for multi-purposes, then those rents should be apportioned to ensure that, that there is no misuse of public monies.
We can hear this morning actually some of what was said on Good Morning Ulster. The secretary of the South Derry Cultural Society, which Sinn Féin rent an office from, signed Martin McGuinness's election papers. And Noel Thompson asked Francie Molloy if this was too close a relationship between people in power and those who are benefiting from public money.
This person that you're talking about also signed my papers. I don't in any way distance myself from that. That person received no benefits whatsoever. Neither do Sinn Féin accumulate any benefits whatsoever from the rent paid in relation to Gullah Duff. So that's quite clear on that situation. You could hardly pick someone in Mid Ulster who is not Sinn Féin, because it's a Republican constituency. So it doesn't matter. Republicans are very much involved in the activity around Gullah Duff in the community. That's the community. It is a Sinn Féin Republican community. So don't actually try to taint this situation by saying that because someone is a secretary of the group, that person then shouldn't be involved in Sinn Féin activity otherwise.
Seamus Close, on that specific issue, I mean, whenever it came to you and having election papers signed, I mean, would there have been warning bells going off if you were asking someone to sign election papers who you were renting an office from or was involved in the process of renting an office?
Well, again, it comes back down to the whole point that Pat has already referred to, the principles of public life. And they are quite plain and explicit. With regard to the one you're referring to, I mean, the first one on the list that I have of the Nolan principles refers to selflessness. Holders of public office should take decisions solely in terms of the public interest. They should not do so in order to gain financial or other material benefits for themselves, their family, or their friends.
But they say they haven't broken any rules.
I'm talking about principle here. What about integrity? What about principles? And the principles are related to the code of conduct that people in public life should observe. And what we've got this morning as a response to the programme are blaming the system, blaming the programme, blaming the messenger. But there's very few, if any of them, are looking at the planks in their own eyes, looking at what the taxpayer, the person that's paying this money, is saying. And you've only got to look at Twitter feeds this morning with a reference to troughs and snouts, etc., coming through. This is pulling the whole process of elections, of politics, of political representatives down into the gutter. It shouldn't be there. And there is an abuse of expenses, and that abuse needs to be sorted out, and sorted out quickly to restore the honourable profession of politics, rather than have it where it is at the moment, being scandalised.
But
Seamus is right. But there is a rule which requires declaration of interests, and this is a very clear declaration of interest. If there's a party member who may be on the receiving end of rents, that's actually made explicit in both the declaration of interests requirements and also in our current determination, where if you're a connected party, or if there is a connected party in such a transaction, they must be declared. And I don't know the position in the case you mentioned, but I am aware that very, very few, if any, are actually properly declared. And there was one very recently which, of course, sought to backdate that declaration for 8 years or 9 years.
The DUP's Peter Weir.
There's something wrong, and it's not transparent, it's not open, it's not open to proper examination, and we must see where those monies are going.
The DUP's Peter Weir was also on Good Morning Ulster this morning. He was asked about a DUP advice centre in Ballymena that featured on the programme last night. It's rented by two DUP MLAs for nearly the full assembly limit. But the DUP MP for the area, Ian Paisley, uses the same building, an allowance paid for by Westminster.
If you have a situation in which you have representation from both Westminster and the Assembly, I don't think it's unnatural for people to share offices in that regard. What we are saying, actually, is that the system itself, if you take a look at what has happened throughout the programme last night on it, and I wouldn't take everything last night entirely as gospel. However, there will be widespread concern. I think we need to restore public confidence. We need to actually look at a system in terms of funding similar to what we have at Westminster, in which things are completely detached.
Your party is not at fault. It's just the system. Your party is not at fault for overclaiming. It's just the way the system works.
And from that point of view, we have followed the rules.
I mean, where does that sit with you, Pat McCartan? The whole allowance of the 22,000 or 23,000 is being claimed by two MLAs, but in the same office, there's a £14,000, roughly approximate claim from Westminster expenses by the MP.
That's the point I was just going to make. These things should be apportioned, and there should be a percentage would apply to each of the people using the office, and that they would claim accordingly. And that's the way it should happen. And it quite clearly isn't quite working where there's an overlap with an MP. So there's something not quite right there, and it does require to be looked at. I think that those MLAs really should examine that situation and put it right immediately.
Because we've about 90 seconds left, Seamus Close, but I wanted to ask you, because it was something you said last night, you know, that there was this sort of culture of the money's there, if you don't spend it, you're mad. I mean, do you think that the MLAs need to actually look at the responsibility and those, some of the MLAs, important not to say all of them, but to say, you know, just because the system is dysfunctional doesn't mean that we should actually exploit the dysfunctionality of it.
Exactly. You see, each of them sign a form, as I understand it, that says that the money that they are claiming is wholly and exclusively in the course of the business of the Assembly. Now, that relates to the rents, it relates to salaries, and if an MP is also sharing that office, then they're claiming that it is wholly and exclusively in the course of Westminster. So both cannot be right. It strikes me that the office cost allowance is now the equivalent to an MLA's or an MP's PR account, which is being paid for at public expense, and that is wrong. And it's particularly wrong at a time when we see budgets being cut right, left and centre. And I've already made the point, there was no cut in the Assembly budget. That figure remains exactly the same. It's costing us millions. It needs to be looked at.
OK, the DUP's Peter Weir is going to be coming on the programme very shortly. Just before you go, Pat McCartan, what can you do about this? Where do we go from here?
Well, of course, we are required to determine the rules around the payment of those expenses and salaries for staff, and that's what we are doing currently. But we're only allowed to do it once in every mandate. And you know that the mandate was recently extended by a year to 2016, so we are working on the 2016 determination currently. But if there's anything which isn't right at the moment, then that should be reported to the Standards and Privileges and to the Commissioner for Complaints.
Okay.
If there's something wrong with the way it's currently working, it's open to people to do that.